If you have your Bible, go ahead and look at Proverbs chapter 22. It's a joy and a privilege for me to be here speaking with you, and just a really special Mother's Day to all of the ladies this morning. And we'll try to accomplish two things this morning. We'll speak briefly about this subject of child training, and then we'll partake of the Lord's Supper together. Proverbs 22 is our text this morning. And really what I want to do is just be an encourager this morning. A couple notes from the pastor's study. Sam was mentioning the origin of this holiday. These man-made holidays are no friend to the pastor. Trust me. Whether you have an unbelievably great message expounding the whole theme of what it means to be a mother from Proverbs 31 or whatever it might be, or on Father's Day you have a message just for the men. If you do that, then someone's not happy that you didn't go through the Word in a more general way. And if you don't do that, then people are upset you didn't mention the day at hand. And so it's really a no-win day for the pastor. So if you've been paying attention the last couple of years, what I've tried to do is really think about the day at hand, but in a way that applies to every single person. I know that seems difficult, but I think you'll see this come through in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Let's look at it together. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 is maybe the most well-known verse, one of the top couple well-known verses in the book of Proverbs. Look at it with me. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Bow your heads, let's pray. Dear God, I thank you and praise you for your great grace, and just for the Lord's Day, and just for your word, and for our Savior who shed his blood, his precious, perfect, holy blood for sinners. And just worship you this day on Communion Sunday, and just pray as we open up your word now that you would encourage us, dear God, that you would speak to each one here, no matter the age or where we are in life, mothers, fathers, children, young people, and everyone, God, that you would just speak to us through your word, and just that you would have something encouraging to say to everyone here today. Amen. Proverbs is a really interesting book. We call this the wisdom literature in the Bible. Very interesting. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon fit in that genre of the wisdom literature. And what you have specifically in the book of Proverbs, you have a father. Do you remember Solomon? This is the wise statements of Solomon given to his son Rehoboam in the royal courts. That's the technical context of the book of Proverbs. You have a father teaching a son principles for godly living. Now, if you're paying attention still, you're saying, but wait a minute, you missed it. Father's Day's next month. This is Mother's Day. How does that fit in? Well, stay with me just for a minute. Through the centuries, good Bible students have looked at the book of Proverbs and recognized this, and this goes all the way back to the earliest time of the Christian church, and many of you perhaps this morning were given the Proverbs as a very young person, as a child primer in the things of God, as a teaching training manual in the things of God. The note in my study Bible really summarizes that this book offers instruction in the tender relationship of a father and a mother with their children, all designed to produce meditation on God. And all of that makes sense, I believe, but what is difficult about the book of Proverbs, and I think it's easy to miss this, in Proverbs you have divine wisdom given to us by God, teaching very practical elements of living in the real world by wisdom as opposed to folly. But what is difficult in this book, Proverbs, beloved, gives us principles which are not always inflexible laws or absolute promises. I don't know how much you've studied the book of Proverbs, but I can tell you That's an often misunderstood point when it comes to this book. As you open it up, as you read it, as you teach it, you have to keep that in mind. We love inflexible laws and absolute promises. We love cause and effect. If I do this, I get that. But it doesn't always work out that way. Even in the book of Proverbs, we find expressions of truth given to us by God. Amen. But often you have exceptions due to what? The uncertainty of life. Due to the fact of our sin, due to the fact of the fallen world that we live in. In other words, God does not guarantee uniform outcome or application for each proverb. And that's difficult, I get it. But having said that, as we study this book, we come into contact with the mind of God, His character, His attributes, works, blessings, promises, and so we have the ultimate instruction book before us related to wise living. And what do children need? Instruction related to wise living. It's very interesting. Last Thursday, two Thursdays ago, I had the privilege of giving my Christian testimony of faith in Christ. And I talked about how thankful I was for my parents. My earliest memories in life, you won't believe this, but I mean, going back to age 4, I believe, maybe even a little before that, but certainly age 4, and I'm a dead 100% slam dunk positive by age 5, I have memories from the church that I grew up in. Hopefully the same way you young people that have been around here forever, I mean, you're gonna remember this church. But I remember the church I grew up in, and I remember my parents taking me, and I remember the smell of that place, and the pastor, and the people, and the teachers, and I remember what it felt like sitting on the pews, and the sound of the pipe organ, and the whole thing. I mean, earliest memories in life go back to that church where I grew up as a boy, and I gave testimony Thursday. I'm really thankful for that. That my parents took me to a place where the Word of God was opened, it was read, it was proclaimed, the truth of Christ, salvation by grace through faith alone, the fundamentals of the faith were upheld, and amen. And I'm really, really thankful for my parents. But don't miss this. My parents came from the generation where they were not taught that it was their job, their primary job, to teach their children the things of God. In their generation, you would bring your kids to the church, and it was the church's primary job to teach the children the way of truth. Make sense? Now, obviously, I mean, this is a double-edged sword, because a lot of people today have swung that pendulum to the whole other side of this, and we won't even go there, but I just have to bring this up. It's an equal mistake to say, and some people want to say this today, you know, the church isn't going to get their grubby hands on my kids. You know, we're not going to be the only ones who teach our kids at home under our roof. You know, God forbid, you know, anyone in the church is good enough to teach our kids. Well, that's a heretical error. That misunderstands that God has given the church gifted teachers. And you better let those gifted teachers work with your kids, because that's forsaking the very foundation and function of what the church is here for, to teach. But you get the point. It must be the parents' job primarily to be teachers of their children. And so we come to Proverbs 22, verse 6. In this passage, we learn principles, beloved, that are repeated over and over. And if you're familiar with the book of Deuteronomy, these principles are repeated over and over about teaching children the way they should go, the way of life, forgiveness, the right way as opposed to the wrong way, the way of death, the way of wisdom and blessing are contrasted with the way of cursing and folly. And so in this book of Proverbs, especially, we're going to begin to just think about Proverbs 22:6 for a couple minutes here. We're thinking about teaching them God's way, the way of truth, the way of life, the way of blessing, the way of forgiveness. We're going to teach them about faith in Christ. And this is just a tremendous day for me to be an encourager to all of you, as this has really been the heart's cry of our parents in this place. And that's an encouraging That's an encouraging word. This has been the passion of the parents in this place, to teach children the way they should go. This has been the goal not only of the parents, but of the Sunday school, the youth group, the Awana group, and all of these meetings where children are present. The purpose is to train them up in the way they should go. It's very interesting. The Bible does not hide from the reality, beloved, that not every child will go God's way. And this is where it gets a little bit difficult. Not every child is going to go God's way. That phrase, look at Proverbs 22:6, is really interesting. The phrase, the way he should go. Look at that in your Bible. Boy, that's really interesting. If you study that in a serious way in the original language, that's a fascinating little phrase. The writer could have said, the way he will go. Are you following me? But he said the way he should go. He didn't write the way he will go, but the way he should go. And you know this from your study of Scripture. You know this from your own personal experience. You know this from anecdotal experience. You know this perhaps as a brother or a sister. You know this as parents. Sometimes we teach and we train and we pray and we love and we sacrifice and we model the truth. And in the same family, you have the same instruction, same parents, same church, same pastor, same message, same devotional time at home. And one child goes God's way. One child doesn't go God's way. Right in our church, we have examples of that. We have examples of that. Jason Evison is a really good example of that. He's one who said, he uses this example often. Same parents, same church, same experiences. You have one brother who's a twin, who's not following the ways of truth, and you have one who desires to follow the way of truth. But this passage in the book of Proverbs in general teach godly principles, not specific outcomes. In other words, all through the book of Proverbs, we have these principles that apply to people as they desire to obey, but there's no guarantee of a desired outcome. But this general principle, it's repeated in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 4, chapter 6, chapter 11. You keep teaching, you keep training, you keep showing them, you keep modeling them. You know, everywhere you go, where you get up, where you sit down, by the river, by the bank, by the rocks, every day of life, you teach them, you train them the way they should go. Proverbs 22:6, look at it with me in the Bible. It's so interesting here. In a lot of ways, you have the mystery of salvation. You say, what do you mean? I'm confused. I don't see that. Well, you see it here. You say, what do you mean? Well, salvation is all of God. It's all of grace. He must take the initiative. He must do the work of regeneration, opening the heart, the eyes, the minds of people. But equally true, we must train, we must teach the way they should go. It's a great mystery. It's really kind of funny, actually. Someone said recently, and I thought this was so funny. You won't think this is funny because the things I think are funny, you just don't think are funny. But I thought this was funny. It was a Sunday morning, I think, and it was a potluck Sunday. And there were a lot of people here. And it was crowded, and all the kids were here, and they were all running around. And I was kind of standing in the back. And then, I'm not going to mention any kids specifically to call them out, but there were a bunch of kids in the back. And one kid just literally kind of ran into another kid, knocked him over, took the toy out of his hand, and just kind of, you know, kicked him. And I'm standing right there. And another guy was standing right there. I mean, and these kids are like 4 feet. I mean, so much for being afraid of the pastor, right? I mean, this is right in front of me. And the guy turned to me and he said, do you ever notice you don't have to teach kids to be bad? Was that great? I said, yeah, that's great. I have to file that away. You don't have to teach kids to take their toy. You don't have to say, we're going to have a lesson today on how to steal your brother's toy. Is that funny? You don't have to have a lesson that says, okay, everyone get together. I want to teach you how to lie today. Everyone, you know, be quiet, because I'm going to teach you how to talk back to your parents. I mean, you just, they just get that, right? They're great at that. They're PhDs at doing what they're not supposed to do. Where do they learn that? They don't have lessons. They don't have Sunday school. Parents are not teaching them how to, you know, kick their brother and take their heart. Hopefully you're not teaching them that. But they just get it. They get it because that's who they are. They're your sons and your daughters. They're just like you. They're no better than you. And so they're descendants of Adam. Sinners, and they behave like sinners. And in all the gravity and seriousness I can turn this around at muster, this is what makes Proverbs 22:6 so difficult in conclusion. Training them in the way they should go, beloved, is difficult because it goes against who they are naturally. Until the Holy Spirit comes, until they're regenerated, until they have a desire to obey from within, boy, this is a struggle. This is a struggle. The note in my study Bible on this passage is tremendous, and it makes a lot of sense. And I just want to end with this word of encouragement. Listen to this note, Proverbs 22:6, if you have the MacArthur Study Bible, and I quote, "Since it's axiomatic," what's an axiom? It's a rule that's been tested through time and experience. It's a rule that's been proven. "Since it's axiomatic that early training secures lifelong habits, parents must insist upon this way, teaching God's word and enforcing it with loving discipline consistently through the child's upbringing." Boy, there's a lot of wisdom there, amen? That's wise. That's a really good thought. Early childhood training secures lifelong habits. And so as parents, as pastors, as youth workers, Sunday school teachers, and of course, this isn't just for the moms, this is for the dads, and this is for everyone else. And even for you young people, you teenagers, very quickly, if you don't already have opportunities, you're going to be called upon to train kids very quickly as you are trained. This applies to everyone, but we must insist upon God's way, teaching the Word, and dare I say, enforcing the Word with loving, patient discipline, continually throughout the child's upbringing. There's a lot of wisdom in that quote. We live in a day, we live in a time, the first time in history really, where people want to believe that children can make their own decisions regarding monumental life choices. Is anyone noticing this? And you hear this often, people will say, you know, we're going to give our kids a choice what to believe about the Christian faith. We're going to give our choice about kids our choice about what religion they're going to follow. We're going to give our kids a choice about which church they attend. We're going to give our kids the choice if they want to get up early for Sunday school. You're joking, right? You have to be joking. That's abuse. Even when I was teaching public school, it was so interesting. We'd have these staff meetings. And back then, I don't know if they still do this, but we worked in what you call a unit. I have no idea if this is still in fashion, but a unit was like 7 or 8 teachers, and I was in this unit. And all of these teachers just graduated from teaching college. You know, it just doesn't get any more, you know, just I'm not even going to go there. But anyway, so we're sitting around in the staff meetings with the unit, and their whole thing was, well, you got to give kids choices. You got to give them choices. Set up your room so everyone can have a choice. I said, no, I'm going to have directions. Because if I'm going to give them choices, they're going to choose the wrong thing every time. So we're going to have directions. And we're going to enforce those directions. And guess who had the least amount of problems with discipline? Because I didn't give them choices. I gave them directions. You see, and beloved, it's the same thing as pastor, as Sunday school teacher, as youth worker, as a mom, as a dad. You give a kid a choice between sleeping in the morning and getting up early for Sunday school. Guess what they're going to choose every time? So you have to make the choice. I mean, if you're going to give them a choice between sitting down and reading a passage of Scripture and explaining it to them and applying it and having a real time in the things of God in prayer, or doing some mindless activity, they're going to choose the mindless activity. And so we need to be training them consistently, habitually, lovingly, modeling the truth, teaching the truth, training them, even to the point of using discipline. If necessary, we train them in the way they should go, and then we have to leave the results to God. But then we can have a clear conscience that we've done our part. And even in this passage, let's close with a real word of encouragement here. I want to close with this general principle. Look at, again, if you have your Bible, look at the last part of verse 6 there, Proverbs 22:6, and we'll close right here. And here's the encouragement as we come to conclusion. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Do you see that? And to be honest, I'll just be really transparent. I'm not exactly sure what that means. I don't know. I'm not going to pretend I know exactly what God has in mind there. But I'm going to take this at face value as a promise from God. Amen? I'm not sure I can explain that to you, the second part of Proverbs 22:6, but I believe it. Do you believe that? I believe that. I really do. I believe that is true. Now, we close with this, and then we'll take the Lord's Supper together. For some of us right here this morning, perhaps, you need to be encouraged by the second half of Proverbs 22:6. You just need to be encouraged by this. Because sometimes our kids, I mean, even the precious kids represented here in this place, sometimes we teach them, we train them, we pray for them. And some of these kids are not following God's way. And to deny that is just to betray the obvious. Some of the kids represented right here, they're going to get in their late teens, their 20s, into their mid-20s, maybe into their 30s or whatever, that season of youth, and they're not going to follow God's way. And maybe some of your precious children this morning, right here, maybe some of these precious kids that we love, maybe some of these kids that we have brought into this world, maybe they're not following God's way today. But I want to encourage you in conclusion this morning, beloved, what they learned as children will never truly leave them. It will never leave them. The time that you spend training them and teaching them and modeling the truth and loving them, as a general rule, that will not depart from them long after you have passed from the scene and they become old. They will not depart from the truth that was taught to them. I want to encourage you with that principle this morning. And there are some here today. Perhaps you loved your kids and you trained them and you taught them and you prayed for them and you brought them to church. And you were an example of Christ in their life. And there are examples of some kids here and they're not following God's way. The Bible gives you a promise today that when they are old, maybe long after you have died and gone to heaven, when your children are old, the Bible promises they will not depart from it. Let's pray. Dear God, encourage us this morning, and as we think about Mother's Day, just encourage all the precious moms here today, and we thank you for them, dear God, and thank you for the definition of love that we see in every mother, just the undying willingness to sacrifice for her children. Just see that as a model of Christ's love, and just pray that you would encourage every single mother here this morning, and especially, dear God, we pray for the children, perhaps, that are not going and following the way of truth this morning. We pray that you would draw them back and that you would do that work and you would encourage us. And for everyone, the fathers and the men and the young men and the young women who are not yet mothers and everyone else here, God, just pray that you would just give us a vision for teaching and training children, and just knowing that It's your desire that these kids be saved and they walk after you and they in turn bear great fruit and raise up another generation. We pray for that. Pray for your glory and prepare our hearts now, dear God, as we transition into a time of the Lord's Supper. Just prepare us to partake in a manner that's pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. We transition into a time of the Lord's Supper. First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Verse 27, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat the bread and drink the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged." Let's bow our heads. I'll pray, and then I'm going to ask the men to come forward. Dear God, as we enter into this time of the Lord's Supper, we just thank you for your great grace. And for everyone here, God, that knows you, we just give you all the glory, not our parents, not our pastor, not our Sunday school teachers. We know they're part of the plan and the mystery of your work, but we give you all the praise and all the glory, for only you can cause one to be born again. And we give you all the worship, the exaltation for every single person who's saved here, for it is only through the blood of Jesus that we can know forgiveness of sins, and we put our faith in that blood, his perfect life, his shed blood, his death, his resurrection. We put our faith in you, Lord Jesus, as our righteousness, and we give you all the glory. And dear God, as we partake now together, just we confess our sins, we confess our inability to do all that you've commanded us. We even confess that we have missed the mark, perhaps, of training children the way they should go. We just give you all of the failures, the sins of our hearts this day, and other things that are left unsaid. God, Holy Spirit, just pray that you would just intercede for us and all of the sins, the things that we struggle with, God, the habitual sins, and for each one, perhaps something different. We just pray, we give those to you now. We confess that we have missed the mark. We confess that we are far from perfect. We've broken the law, and we come as sinners in need of forgiveness. Even those who have been saved and justified, we come with need to have our feet cleansed this day. And we pray for that. I pray for each one here that as they confess their sins and partake, that they would know the great joy of fellowship with you, communion with you, communion with each other. They would know the joy of being cleansed to renewed fellowship. I pray for that. And for the one or the two, perhaps, that's never come in repentance to be justified, to be forgiven, just pray that this day would be a day where the gospel would break through, they would believe, repent, and be saved. And just pray for this and for your glory, Jesus. Amen. Men, come forward, please, for the passing of the bread. Dear God, we thank you for this ordinance of the Lord's Supper and all that it represents. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you did keep the law for us and that you freely give us your righteousness and that you took your perfect life and gave it on our behalf and you took our sins upon yourself. And we just truly stand in humble worship of what you did for us, and just desire now, dear God, to live our lives for your glory and to praise you, and even this day that we would have communion with you and communion with each other. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's eat together. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Dear God, we thank you so much for the shed blood of our Savior, and we see his blood as necessary for the forgiveness of sins, and we put our faith in his perfect blood, and we confess our sins, dear God, even as you've asked us to, and we come with this attitude of verse 28 in 1 Corinthians 11, we come examining ourselves, and dear God, we come as those who judge ourselves as the sinners we are, and I intercede for your precious people here. As the chief of sinners, I intercede for the other sinners here that you would forgive us, and this day, dear God, you would draw near to us, and we would remember truly the price that was paid. We would remember that, and it would be meaningful, and it would change us, and you would be glorified. Just pray for your precious flock this morning that they have been edified, they've heard you speak to them, and they've remembered the most important thing in the world, the most important truth the world has ever known, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried. He was raised from the dead on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he who believes in him will receive eternal life. Dear God, just pray that your precious ones would believe that we're justified by faith apart from works of the law, and that we would put our faith in the perfect atonement, the perfect gift, the perfect sacrifice of Jesus, and we would trust alone in Christ, and that we would come as worshipers, remembering truly the gravity of this day. Let's drink together. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Stand, please, with me as we close. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you today and forevermore. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here. Happy Mother's Day. Go in peace.